listen to the Johnny Ballpark Frank Show online live at WNSR.com.
Welcome back, Johnny Ballpark Franks with you. Coming up around 5:20, Doug Segrist out of Birmingham with the TV show The Zone on ABC 3340 talking SEC. Right now, a chance to talk some Vanderbilt. Robbie Weinstein, he covers the doors for Vandy247.com. Robbie, hope your week is going solidly, and as always, welcome back to the show.
Yeah, thanks for having me, Johnny. Three basketball games in 1 week, some baseball as well. It's a busy week for sure, when these sports cross over here.
Hey, let's start, and just like a fireworks display, let's end with a bang. So let's start with Vanderbilt basketball. How about the fact that scheduled this game on Monday, this non-conference affair with Cincinnati, and you have to go back 55 years, the last time Vanderbilt had a non-conference matchup this late in the season. That was against Tulane back in 1965. Was this an opportunity to get some of the younger players more playing time and experience, especially going into the SEC tournament? What was the whole rationale by adding Cincinnati?
Yeah, I think that was definitely a part of it. I think also on top of that, Vanderbilt lost some games in the SEC, two against Texas A&M and one against Missouri that are not going to be made up. I think they want all the games they can get because they are playing a lot of young guys. For instance, Isaac McBride is a redshirt freshman who transferred to Kansas. He's been playing a lot more recently. Trey Thomas is another one. I definitely think like the development of the younger guys was part of it. It's a quality game. Cincinnati has probably the worst team they've had in like 10 years, but it's a road game. They're still sort of a fringe top 100 team. I think it's a good game to add. We'll see if they come back next year or not. My favorite aspect of Vanderbilt adding this game, or what I respect the most about it, is, this is about playing games, right? Like, don't pack it in at the end of the season, just because you're not going to the NCAA tournament or you're not going to the NIT. I think, everybody's in this sport to play real actual games. And so I think I definitely respect that Vanderbilt is trying to get as many in as they can instead of just, giving up basically as the season, comes to a close.
Now, Robbie, it sounds like you have given up, because if they win five straight next week, they will be playing in the NCAA tournament.
Right. Well, yeah, technically that's true. The chances of that happening, especially with Dylan Dessou out for the season, are pretty much zero.
Don't go there.
Yeah, right. Well, I mean, not even just the five games. Like, I would say even more than two, there's basically no chance. I would say, Pippen is supposed to be coming back here either on Thursday or Saturday. So if he's really, actually good to go and looks good and all that, and his hip injury isn't affecting him, then I do think they, would be favored over Texas A&M in the first game. And then you play probably like Tennessee or someone like that in the second round, and I assume they would lose and potentially by double digits. But I think that, they got like an outside chance to pull the upset if Pippen is playing.
Well, you say that about having to face off against Tennessee. The problem with Tennessee, they've been so inconsistent that who knows what you're going to get with them.
Yeah.
And that's a problem. I mean, look, they shorthanded, they showed that they could play with Tennessee like they did last Thursday, or last Wednesday, rather. And, I mean, that was a four-point game there in a game that had no business being a four-point game, but yet that's where Vanderbilt was. And so, who knows what they can get done over – I mean, I can see them, at that point next week, you're playing Wednesday against A&M, looking at that, just take care of business, and at that point, take it one game at a time, see what happens. Not going to count on it, not expecting it, but who knows?
Yeah, and I mean, without Pippen, they did just beat Ole Miss, which was, a kind of a bubble team. I think that was probably a fluke. I think they played a little bit over their heads in that game, and that showed up last night against LSU, which was just a butt-whooping.
Zach just thought for sure that Vanderbilt was going to keep it close as far as with that point spread, and I almost bought into that, except I remember last year Vanderbilt football playing it really close, and here they were on the road taking on Missouri, and I was crazy enough to think that they could actually win that game. So I learned my lesson in other sports with Vanderbilt.
Yeah, I think they were a little bit due for a bad game also. They have been pretty consistently competitive ever since that Arkansas game, and You know, the reality is that even if you look at the roster, you know, especially without Dessou and really without Dessou and Pippen, it is toward the bottom of the league, if not at the very bottom. So, yeah, I think they were due for it a little bit, but no doubt. I mean, they played as badly as you could have last night. I do expect them to play quite a bit better on Thursday as well as Saturday at Ole Miss, although those could easily be losses. I mean, two road games against quality teams.
How about college baseball? Now, I'm not sure which poll you like to keep up with. I like to, the D1Baseball.com poll, yeah, and the coaches poll with USA Today. Any way you want to slice it, Vanderbilt, the number two team in the country. If you look at the D1Baseball.com poll, the top four teams, all from the SEC, Arkansas, Vanderbilt, Mississippi State, and Ole Miss, five of the top six. And the same thing applies, a little bit different order, in the coaches' poll. Five of the top six from the SEC, including LSU at number eight in the coaches' poll, six of the top eight from the SEC. But if you're Vanderbilt, you know, especially as long as you can avoid injuries, to have in these weekend series, which the SEC play is able to get launched in two more weekends, when you have Kumar Rocker and Jack Leiter, two of your three starters for these weekend series in the SEC, you like your chances.
Yeah, I sort of think this season Vanderbilt baseball is playing the long game a little bit. We know what they have on the mound. They probably have the best pitching staff in the country. If not, you know, they're definitely elite. The question will be, do they have enough offense that they can, you know, win the whole thing, win the College World Series again? Right now, I would say they probably don't, but we're in March, right? So a lot of the guys on this team who are getting a lot of at-bats, who are starting games, you know, not only are they on the younger side, but they didn't get really much of a 2020 season, and most of those games came against you know, like lower-level non-conference competition. So I do think that it's possible that a lot of these guys, for instance, you know, Isaiah Thomas, who's a junior but really, you know, didn't play that much last year because the season was so short. You could look at, for instance, like Jack Bolger has been playing in left field. He's a freshman. Dominique Keegan had a blood clot for part of last season and didn't get that many plate appearances.
And he's off to a great start, too, by the way.
Yeah, he's playing great, and I think they're going to look like a different team at the end of the season than they do now. And if they don't, then they probably won't have enough offense to win the national championship. But I think it's going to be about improvement over the course of the whole spring for them.
Well, and you see these things, like they're only lost this year. They lost on that first of the four-game series with Georgia State, talking about Vanderbilt. And that was a game, they lose 4-2, but they had so many opportunities. And I think that, you know, we talk about this more so in football, but in a situation like that, especially since you've been away from the diamond for so long as far as being competitive, as far as college baseball is concerned because of what happened with COVID, that, you know, I think you can learn from those opportunities. And to me, those opportunities will – you know, when down the road, when you weren't getting those key hits, I think that part will come around.
Yeah, I think that's fair. And the other thing is, there are quite a few other teams in college baseball that brought back guys who used an extra year of eligibility thanks to COVID. Vanderbilt doesn't have anybody like that. Harrison Smith and Ty Duvall, who was the catcher, both those guys were seniors last year, productive players, and they did not come back. They went pro. So Vanderbilt doesn't have the benefit of having that kind of extra experience that some of these teams have. So 100%, I think, you know, getting a lot of reps in close games will help them for sure, I think. And, you know, if they do get into the close games, we talk all the time about their starting pitching, but I actually think their bullpen looks a little bit better even than I expected, because Luke Murphy could be one of the best closers or relief guys in the entire country. He looked really good in the fall. And he has continued it so far. He's just been completely unhittable. I mean, you know, when you can hand the ball from somebody like Rocker or Leiter to, you know, Sam Loboke or Luke Murphy or one of these really good bullpen guys, it's going to be tough, you know, like you said, in a three-game series, you know, come May or whatever, in the back half of the SEC season.
You probably, if you look at the pitching staff as a whole, you'd like to – you know, get that ratio as far as strikeouts to walks. Is right now it's around 3-1. You would like to reduce the walks a little bit more, but still, things could be worse if you're nitpicking like that. And I think the fact that, you know, in some years with college baseball, you've got the one guy that you know is going to be there on that opening night as far as SEC play. Then you got somebody who you're pretty sure about. And then, but and in the case that, you know, two of these three spots to me taken, and that means that extra competition, I think it makes everybody, as far as a focus standpoint, even more so as far as those that are trying to win that third spot on the weekends.
Yeah, I think so. And it looks like Thomas Schultz has pretty much beaten out Ethan Smith and some other guys for that spot. Schultz has, you know, I think I saw him a couple of places listed in the offseason as like a potential first or second round pick in the draft this coming year. But we'll see if that holds. But he's clearly, I mean, he does look like a very quality third starter. And beyond that, you know, Rocker and Leiter, as you mentioned with the walks, they haven't really been as sharp as usual so far. I don't think that's, you know, unexpected necessarily, because we're in, you know, February and March, and they had such a long layoff. I get it, for sure. I think they're going to come around. Like, I think they're going to get cleaner and stop walking so many guys. So once that happens, you know, I mean, they're already pitching quite well. The numbers look really good. So imagine what it gets to when Rocker and Leiter potentially are not giving out a lot of free passes anymore.
Well, soon we'll be talking about spring football as well, as far as spring practice and drills, everything going on right now as well. Do me a favor, let the listeners know again what they can expect with Vandy247.com.
Sure, lots of recruiting stuff this time of year, as well as men's basketball. I'll have lots of coverage tomorrow night from that Cincinnati game. And I actually put in my first crystal ball for Vanderbilt for the 2022 class, so you can head over and check that out as well.
Hey, we appreciate you, Robbie. Have a wonderful rest of the week, and we look forward to talking to you again soon.
Yeah, thanks as always for having me, Johnny.
Thank you, buddy.